This episode sponsored by We Feed Raw. Have you ever actually looked at the label on your dog's food? Most dog food labels are a long list of things that don't look like food. Powders, starches, additives used to hold ultra-processed kibble together. At We Feed Raw, the label looks very different. High-quality meat, nutrient-rich organs, complete and balanced nutrition formulated by PhD nutrition experts. No fillers, no artificial preservatives, just real ingredients that support your dog's whole body health. That's why many pet parents see real changes after switching to We Feed Raw's fresh meals. If you want to feed your dog one of the healthiest diets possible, We Feed Raw makes it simple. Right now, new customers can get 40% off their starter box plus free shipping. Visit We Feed Raw at wefeedraw.com to get started today.
Poison Rana.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Brayden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Poison Rana Live. You found us in your podcast app of choice, or you may be listening to us
live on youtube.com/@poisonranapod. Hello, YouTube room. How are we doing?
It's a little impromptu WrestleMania preview. That's right. Thursday, April 16th. It's 1:28. We decided, screw it. We're going live on the YouTubes. We're going to talk about some WrestleMania this weekend. This is the only time we could find in our busy lives, from traveling to shoot jobs to WrestleMania hosting parties this weekend. We thought the moment is right now to talk
absolutely
about some WrestleMania. So that's what we're going to do. Happy WrestleMania week to all who are celebrating out there, whether you're watching from home, watching at a watch party, watching live from the stadium, whatever it is you may be doing this week. Have a happy and healthy WrestleMania weekend, you know? Stay hydrated out there.
Yeah, we're going to run down the card, go through each match at a time and kind of give our thoughts and predictions for each one. What do you want to do? Do you want to like start with the two main events and then do the undercard? Is that so we're not rushing kind of when we get to big matches? Does that make the most sense here?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And yeah, well, as we go through the matches, give our thoughts on the build, give our like excitement level, as well as who we think is going to win and what we think is going to come out of it.
Absolutely. If you're listening to this, obviously we just did our Dynasty review right here, audio only on this podcast feed. We have tons of other shows. If you want to support, poisonrana.ca for links of everything, including our Patreon. We recently did our Mania 17 review. We just joined John and Way for a best and worst of WrestleMania show as well. So tons of content, including our Snap Ranas from last week in Vancouver and whatnot. So tons of content that never stops stopping. And we will do some sort of WrestleMania review in the next few days after the weekend kind of settles, but to be determined of when and where we do that. But
unfortunately, my work hasn't given me my schedule yet. So we're waiting on that, whether we're doing a Monday show, whether we're doing split shows for each night or whatever, but we'll get something in the can as soon as we possibly can.
Absolutely. And for following along, give us a follow on Instagram at Poison Rana Pod if you use it. We're on Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. But we'll be posting stuff, especially with our two-night watch party at the National downtown. It is sold out. We may have some tickets if you're in the Toronto area. So come say hello. But we will be, you know, posting some fun stuff from our adventures this weekend. So give us a follow if you haven't already, and check out all the other stuff that we got going on. But yes, WrestleMania. Do you feel it? Do you have the WrestleMania jitters? Tell me you feel it.
I don't know. It's been difficult because I think, you know, I've been away the last couple of weeks, so haven't been maybe paying as much attention as I normally would. And then we had Dynasty last week and we had pretty big Dynamite last week. So, last night, I mean. So, by the time Saturday and Sunday rolls around, I'll be excited. America the Beautiful, or the National Anthem, or whatever they decide to start with these days.
Joe Jonas,
yes. I'll probably start feeling a bit more into it, but I can't say, like, yeah, we've said numerous times, no FOMO this year. The build has been very questionable, to say the least. But I do think looking at the card, I think there's some hidden gems there as well that could really deliver if creative doesn't get too much in the way and if the wrestlers are allowed to do what they do best. I think it could be a good show.
You know, I definitely have been down on WWE, but I hope that we can come out of Sunday, like at least talking about some awesome stuff. Like, hopefully it's not all about, oh, the celebrities and Pat McAfee and Jelly Roll and Speed and stuff like that. I hope we're coming out of it like, oh, hey, you know what? On the other side, that one really delivered. And sometimes that does happen when you have maybe low expectations for something. Maybe your expectations are beaten. Maybe you're okay, actually, that wasn't so bad.
I think something that WWE has been very guilty of the last couple of years is the M word, moments, where they Yeah, they feel like they need to deliver on these big moments, shock value, whatever. But it's been clear the last couple of years that it's literally just that. It's a moment. It's not a thought out thing. There's no real follow up to a lot of it. And it's just to do this big shock value thing on your biggest shows, whether it's a WrestleMania or a SummerSlam. And I think the Raw after Mania has been lacking for quite a while. And I would say try and save those moments for the Raw after Mania. And let's just get some good wrestling on this show. Like there's a lot to actually be excited about, you know, like Seth Rollins and Gunther, they should have a good match, you know.
They should steal the show, yeah.
They should. They're both very capable of doing that. But is it going to be just filled with Paul Heyman bullshit and moments? Like, I'd rather save some of that stuff, save some of the next chapter, where the story's going next for the Raw after Mania, and just focus on putting on some really great matches at this year's WrestleMania.
You know, I just don't know if, like, do WWE fans, do they even care about the wrestling? Maybe they don't, you know, like watching Raw from this week, the go home show, like people seem to be happy. People who spent money to be at these venues who get to yeet and, you know, dance along or do the catchphrases to all their favorite superstar. They look really happy. They look like they're enjoying themselves. And if that's all they want, then I guess WWE will just stay this way, because like I don't think WWE fans are wrestling fans. I feel like there's a bit of a gray area of like, yeah, you can turn some WWE fans into wrestling fans eventually, but I don't know. Like, I feel like I watched Raw, I watched Jey Uso, and like I don't really care about Jey Uso wrestling at WrestleMania this year, but watch the Usos come out and all these people are going crazy. I'm like, who am I to tell these people this is trash? If they're enjoying it and thousands of people bobbing their heads, hands up and down, I'm like, cool, that's great, do your thing. But like, yeah, I'm not gonna knock people for enjoying it. I just feel the WrestleMania, the feeling, I don't have that feeling that I usually do have around this time. Like, we should be feeling like we want to be going, we should feel like we're missing out. And I definitely don't feel that way, but well, I hope on the other end, we're coming out and being like, wow, we were wrong. Screw the build. Look, WrestleMania 17 had Deborah in the build and look how that turned out. So like, maybe we come out on the other side. So we shall see.
Let's start with the night one main event, Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton with Pat McAfee in his corner. And if Orton loses, McAfee will leave the professional wrestling industry permanently. Yeah, this is probably the biggest balls up this year, right? Like it seemed quite late in the day heating up this Cody Randy rivalry. Like it's, yes, the story's been told for a long time, but then just the shock elimination chamber win and kind of going right to it, pivoting right to this from the Drew stuff. I thought it went off to a good start. I liked Randy's attack on Cody. And then it's moved on from this story, which is about legacy. I mean, Cody said it in an interview. He's like, hey, we've got 20 years of history. Randy had Dusty's last match and my first match. We were riding together. We were in a stable together. There's so much history there. Like Randy chasing his own record of title wins and that kind of thing. And then suddenly Pat McAfee's involved and it's, hey, wasn't wrestling better when it was the Attitude Era 25 years ago, before Randy even started wrestling? What? And aren't ticket sales shit because of Cody Rhodes and blah, blah, blah. It's been bizarre and really has dragged. Like, already people were a bit down on this Mania, and this just, like, I think even your, like, some of your biggest fans have been a bit put off by this.
You know, I hate to say it, but I fucking told y'all. I have so many of my friends who are like the real WWE diehards, and even they have come out of the woodwork being like, bro, this shit sucks. I don't think I have anyone defending that. I don't think anyone I've had conversations with about WrestleMania this year has defended this storyline, and they can't. And it's some of the fans are just like, why did we go this route? Even if you're a newer WWE fan, like I said, you're about the yeeting and all that shit. Maybe you don't know the story of Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes from like what seems like almost, you know, 10 plus years ago.
20 years.
Yeah. It feels like 20 years, right? When Cody was the young baby face. So maybe they're like, well, some people won't understand that. So like, you could easily tell us and teach us and show us videos. The WWE social media team for the past few weeks, if you don't watch Raw and SmackDown and you just go through WWE and their social media, you would think the story was about Randy Orton and Cody and legacy. Because the way they've been posting videos and like, look at Randy and Orton, Randy and Cody used to ride together and Ted DiBiase was there and all this shit. They don't do any of that on the actual TV shows. It's all just now Pat McAfee and he hates wrestling. So, yeah, really a head scratcher of like, it seemed like a layup. Like, it seemed like, okay, we're going to a match everyone's been waiting for. How many months has Randy just stared at Cody's title over the last, like, what seems like 2 years? Mm. All to just like scrap it, throw it in the bin, and enter Pat McAfee. And it is really bizarre. And I don't know, maybe I was hoping for a better Cody rant. Like, no matter what you did, no matter what lipstick you put on this pig, I'm not gonna be super excited about Randy and Cody, but there was a hope that you could do some storytelling and callbacks and all this stuff, a full circle moment. And now I think you just wash that all away of like whatever the hell this is. And the moment, I don't even think I was mad that they interjected like Pat into this. It's when he just started doing Attitude Era bullshit, Stone Cold quotes and stuff. I was like, what does this serve anything? This is over 30 years old of references that have nothing to do with this. And it really, I don't even think it just pissed me off. It just made me go, yeah, of course. I'm not even shocked that WWE do this stuff. So, yeah, crazy.
Okay, here's a question. I think, like, look, this isn't the first time that WrestleMania's had a bad build, and it won't be the last time. There have been times when I've been, like, really checked out of wrestling. I still watch WrestleMania because I'm a wrestling fan. And WWE knows that, I think. So how much of this is look, everyone we talk to, when it's like, you do wrestling, what do they say? Oh, yeah, like, I used to watch it back in the days of Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker and all that. How much of this do you think is just to try and get those people? Like, not people that watch wrestling at all, but Pat McAfee, like, trashing wrestling on his show and saying, I want to bring this back, maybe to try and get those few people who are like, well, I have ESPN. Like, maybe I will watch this because Pat, who I like and I watch his podcast every day, he's someone who's saying like he wants to bring it back to the days I remember. Like, I'm not saying it's a good strategy, but I kind of think, and how many times have we've even heard from Triple H just be like, I wish fans would just shut the fuck up and enjoy what we're spoon feeding them. Mm-hmm. I get that maybe it's a sense of that it's like if you're a wrestling fan, if you've been following this product for the last 30 years, you know what the story is with Randy and Cody already. We don't need to tell you that. You can watch it on Twitter if you want. Like, but we're trying to get these other people that might give WrestleMania a chance for the first day. And maybe this is their weird strategy, getting a Pat McAfee in who has got a giant reach, and bring up those buzz terms, and people just see the clip and be like, oh, saw Pat McAfee going off and on wrestling and shooting and all that. Maybe that's their thinking. I can't say it's working on me, but then I'm watching the show at the weekend, so does it matter if they've turned me off or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Stephen Smith who said that they approached him to do stuff, and then he said, like, no, I can't do that. So then enter Pat McAfee. I guess he's already got the relation with – I get Synergy, ESPN, all that stuff. Personally, doesn't work for me. I didn't know who the fuck Pat McAfee was before WWE. I've loved his stuff since NXT. Like, we really praised his stuff with Adam Cole. The dude did a War Games match. Like, he showed he knew enough about the business and he actually cared. And I think that showed a lot of fans, like, okay, wait a second, this guy isn't just some jamoke off the street.
And his delivery's not bad.
Yeah,
like, as a heel. Like, the content's been weird, but like, I can't say his delivery is terrible.
Got charisma. He's got a popular, you know, sports podcast for a reason. Definitely. I have no issues with him, really. It's just like, it was instantly when it's like Attitude Era, blah, blah, blah. It's like, fuck off with the Attitude Era already. Holy shit. Like, I'm so over it. Definitely not hyped at all for this. I don't even care if Cody wins or Randy. I literally do like this. If Randy loses, Pat is supposed to leave wrestling forever.
Yeah, is the title on the line as well, or
just bizarre? I guess Randy's winning. Like, Cody, sorry, unfortunately, you got to have another loss at a WrestleMania that involves a quote unquote celebrity. So, yeah,
I think Randy winning's probably the best move, regardless or not Pat being involved.
He will be involved for sure.
I think they're treading a line with Cody where they want to milk him as this baby face as long as they can. And I think having him with doing long title reigns, you do see the crowd. Like, the crowd haven't completely turned off him, but there have been moments, you know, there have been moments last year with the Cena build and moments with this build. So I think it's probably best for him. I think the loss to Drew helped, actually. So he can win it down the line. He can go for the other title at some point. So yeah, I do suspect Randy's winning this thing.
I would too. Just, you could go rematches, backlash, whatever the hell we do. And I imagine,
well, the rumor is the tag match, isn't it? Jelly Roll and Cody versus
Jelly's got to come out for the save in this match, right?
I mean, did they not learn anything last year? Like, so just stupid. Celebrity stuff is fine, but being involved in your main event, like,
it's so stupid. I don't care. I really don't care about this match at all, unfortunately. And it's a fucking main event of one of the nights. And I think if you didn't have Jelly Roll out there every week, if you didn't have this Pat McAfee stuff, I think maybe genuinely I'd be like, all right, finally, like, these two in a big WrestleMania match. Because I was watching Legacy somewhere in my storage. I have that gray, ugly Legacy t-shirt somewhere. I was watching back then. And I just feel like this is nothing like this. If you thought all those years ago, oh man, these two are going to have a WrestleMania blood feud, Cody's going to retire Randy one day, it's going to be great. And instead, you got some country artist rapper with a ESPN punter dude. I don't know. Like, what? How did we get here?
Like, I don't mind them being involved. Like, Jelly Roll being involved with Danhausen and The Miz or whatever. Sure. Absolutely fine. Kit Wilson and all
pre-show.
That. Pre-show. Pat being a heel mouthpiece for one of your mid-carders. Cool. But like, here, I don't know.
Why does Randy Orton need this fucking podcaster to, like,
it's so weird.
It's so backward. So genuinely not being fun. I don't give a fuck about this match anymore. Like, I hope Cody loses. I hope we get the dyed hair, whatever he was talking about. Like, it is bonkers to me that they went this direction. But hey, maybe it'll work out. Biggest gate, biggest whatever, it'll work. Right.
Main event of night two is Roman Reigns versus CM Punk for the World Heavyweight Championship.
I hate you. Yeah, well, I hate you too. And you're old. It's basically the feud here between these two guys. I really loved that first initial post-Rumble face-to-face promo. Can't say any of the other face-to-faces or backstage segments or what, one of the, like, Punk definitely been the one carrying this promo or this program with a lot of the single, like, promos that he's been doing since Roman was off TV or whatever. But I don't know. I think you had everyone out the gate and maybe you've just been coasting since that. Watched Raw yesterday from this Monday, and I thought that was such a weak go home segment. I felt like both of them were just repeating the same thing, and then it just ended. And I was like, wait, were one of you supposed to say something after that? And then it just ended. And then today I'm seeing Roman Reigns cutting promos from his car in Vegas, swearing and going off on Punk. I'm like, why can't you do that in front of a live audience? Why do you have to do that in your car? Why do you have to do all these pre-tape things that weren't on the show? Is this part of the promo that you forgot on Monday? Cause I thought I was flabbergasted at that. Like, wait, where's the heat there? It just ended. Am I crazy? Did you feel that way?
No, I didn't love it either. It did feel like quite an abrupt ending on Raw. Also felt like maybe, I don't know, maybe Punk with the, it seems looking at the like press tour some of these people are doing, they're being quite vocal about TKO's involvement and this Pat McAfee thing. You can tell like a Cody Rhodes isn't thrilled about it. CM Punk having that Pat McAfee line a week ago, I think you can tell he's not thrilled about it. And I almost felt like his apology for the Seeker line was a bit like, hey, that wasn't really necessary either for this story. So yeah, sorry about that, but I still hate you. I it's still probably one of the matches I'm more interested in. I think we could have got more. It almost felt like Roman wasn't allowed to say things and Punk was in this feud, and Roman maybe getting a bit of it off his chest in this like car promo that he just cut. I can't say I love the whole "you're just a mark." Like I don't really like when wrestlers are calling other wrestlers marks or using the term mark in general. Like I find it a little cheap. It's going to be interesting how this match goes because, you know, Punk quite vocally being, I don't do cinema, I do wrestling. So how much of the cinematic elements are we going to get with this? The walking around, the talking, all that. I still expect quite a bit. I don't think this has been, it's still one of the things I'm most interested in. There's been good weeks. There's been weaker weeks. I think we've said it would have been spikier a year ago, wouldn't it? Instead of the triple threat, but this is where we are. They've had some good moments. Who do you see winning this?
Roman Reigns.
Roman?
you think after all that, they would go with Punk over him? I don't think so. But, I mean, maybe you could go with a rematch at a WrestleMania down the line. But I do think this would have been a whole lot more interesting if this was the main event last year, especially last year with the whole CM Punk wanting to be in the main event.
Yeah.
And not having that. And then adding the Paul Heyman factor. Well, hey, Roman, actually, Paul's going to be in my corner. Imagine you did that.
For this.
For this.
And that's the go-home angle.
Yeah.
You know, like, that would have been fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Instead, last year, Seth was just the odd one out, so they put him in it to win it, I guess. And that really worked out for him this whole year. I can't say I'm super pumped about this one. Two of my not really my favorites. I like Punk on the mic. I thought he has really carried this program. I mean, Roman at this level, the tribal chief, he's here for a reason. Like, he's got his fan base and he does feel comfortable as this character. I just feel like the last few weeks they've really let it coast. And it's like, well, I hate you. I the one thing I liked from Monday night's segment was, I hate you, says Punk, but it's because I envy you, because you were handed this. You were coddled. You were born on third base with a silver spoon, where my whole life I had to scratch and crawl, scratch and, you know, try to get to this thing, only for Roman to be like, yeah, your indie run fucking sucked.
Yeah.
The indies suck, says Roman Reigns. It's like, okay, yep. Another program shitting on wrestling in general. But I just go back to that first promo where they were face to face and I was like, yes, that's what we need. That's what we want. And I'll just think of that, all these missed weeks for me that I didn't necessarily like. But I think once it comes down to it, the crowd, this is the match. It's the big one for this year's WrestleMania. I just think they maybe didn't put enough tender love and care into this storyline, or any storyline going into WrestleMania this season, really, this weekend. But this is still the big one. I do see Roman Reigns going out on top.
Do you see him winning clean?
Yeah, clean, whatever. Like, I feel like this is for the Colt Cabana podcast, you dick. And then he spears him, pins him, and that's it. And then we get the retribution arc of CM Punk, old man Punk in WWE. I don't know. That's how I see it. Like, I don't know what we gain from Punk going over here. But where are you at with that?
I don't know. After that Roman promo, I kind of feel Punk should win. Punk feels like the underdog in this. And right. I could possibly see Roman like reforming the bloodline. I could see maybe a screwy win for Roman. But otherwise, like, yeah, I'm going to go with Punk for this one. I just think, you know, kind of burying him in that last promo, it's kind of set up for Punk to win, in my opinion. But I hear a lot of people thinking Roman's going to win. So maybe that is the general consensus there. I'm not sure. I am intrigued. I am intrigued with what they do. I do wonder if we're going to get anything screwy, any heel turn from either guy against each other. I'm curious who the crowd are going to side with as well between these two. It seems like the OTC chants have been louder than the CM Punk chants in the build. Yeah. But who knows in Vegas? I'm intrigued. I don't know if it's going to be the best wrestling match on the show, but I'm at least intrigued in the direction and coming out of it. Like, if Roman is champion, who are the options for him moving forward? Do you go to a Gunther match maybe? Or I'm trying to think of the other heels right now he could work against.
I just also loved Roman's car promo, because usually when wrestlers record promos in their car, it's like the selfie in the front seat. They're like at a drive-through or a traffic light or something. He had someone film him in the back because he's got a driver, because he's fucking Roman Reigns. But he also was mentioning like beating you, Punk. What did he say? He says a few specific things that I'm like, okay, like, you didn't defend this title run has been a bust. You've only defended it 3 times. It's like, Roman, you're barely on TV, dude. Yeah. I do think he's going to get cheered. Again, I'll say WWE fans and wrestling fans separate. So I do think OTC is going to get the bigger cheer in the stadium. But I don't know. If you try to do a heel turn, per se, I don't like, both of these guys are playing the like tweener roles, because it's up to the audience to kind of pick who we support and everything. But it is funny, all those years ago, if you were watching with CM Punk when he was still in WWE with the Shield and everything, and then Punk leaves, and then we had some suffering succotash a few years of bad Roman Reigns. And now all these years later, to come out on the other end where people are actually cheering for Roman Reigns over CM Punk. It is kind of interesting. Maybe Vince saw something in Roman that we all definitely didn't see those first 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 manias. He finally got it at like Mania 40. He finally figured it out, but
yeah,
it took him a while. So I don't know. Like, there is a lot of history with these two, and I just maybe wish we did go to that last year. But hey, we got it here. Hopefully the match delivers. I do see Roman coming out on top.
Let's go to the night one opener. It's The Vision and I Show Speed taking on The Usos and LA Knight.
Is Mr. Beast in this match?
Probably. Like, man, this one's a mess.
So obviously Speed is turning on these two to get the big pop to help The Usos and LA Knight the two jamokes here. Like, clearly that's the, I fucking watched Raw. Okay. So I could talk about it. And I watched the segment, and you know what? I don't know much about the Speed guy, but since seeing him get destroyed by Braun, was it last year or whatever that was in the Rumble, gained a whole lot of respect from me. And I know that he's like gotten in shape and it looks like he actually has put some time and effort into this. I see the big angle here is he realizes that the Vision are dickheads and then takes sides with the other guys, the baby faces. But very excited for this match.
It's man, it just like the state of Jey Uso right now, you know, he was,
that's okay, he can stay in the
agree, but like he was the he won the world, like the Rumble last year, he won the world heavyweight title last year, and now he's kicking off the show with this. Which I think it's the position he should be in, but yeah, it's just he's messed up this run, right? Like, do you see him ever climbing up the singles ranks again? No.
Look, I he's still a big act, and people in the audiences like still love him. He's buying shirts, and people are buying shirts and eating and all that stuff. So like, you can't. I'm not gonna knock him, but I just don't think he should be in the main.
I agree. Agree. Whereas LA Knight, I feel, is someone who should, and you see like on his face, like this week on Raw, like doing his entrance, he's not even doing the LA Knight stuff. Like he seems pretty miserable. Cause I think he's someone who has deserved it, who has improved, who does deliver, who still is getting over with these crowds, despite all the stop pushes. I get the sense he is now kind of fed up with it and just being in this meaningless opening match, right? This one's going to be one of the ones on ESPN, which I understand. You'll get the big Yeet entrance and then some names outsiders might know, like a Logan Paul or an Isho Speed. But yeah, I can't say that it's messy. You know, LA Knight should be in something else. Jey Uso kind of fumbled his rise. We've got the leftovers of the Vision in Logan Paul and Austin Theory, and a celebrity I only know from wrestling. So I don't have a whole lot of interest for this.
If this was a Raw match, I wouldn't watch it.
Right. So you're going with Usos and LA Knight?
Yeah. Via someone's turning. And I think it's Speed who realizes these guys are dicks. And I'm actually, that's been the story, right? So I do see that happening. But maybe LA Knight turns heel and joins the Vision. I don't know.
Oh,
but I see Speed winning this or helping them or something.
Okay. I'm going to say, yeah, Usos and LA Knight. I don't necessarily see the turn happening. What else have we got on night one? Sorry. Jacob Fatu versus Drew McIntyre in an unsanctioned match.
Yeah, I'm hoping we get a fun match out of this. I do think Drew was misused this year. I do think since the Punk feud, they just don't know what to do with him. They don't see him as that top guy. I think it's weird that how he won the belt and then dropped it to Cody, and it felt like such a nothing title win and title reign, and then it only to get to this feud. Hey, at least you're on the card. You're in a singles match. Same with Fatu, a big opportunity for this like newer character in the world of WWE. So I think it's great, but I don't necessarily have excitement for this. It's like, I'm hoping that we get a fun, you know, no DQ match here, but storyline wise, it's whatever, but
it's cooled off a bit for me, but I did really enjoy the brawl they had at Saturday night's main event. I thought that was such a
Was that the one where they were climbing up shit and falling?
Yeah.
No, that was so stupid. That was so fucking stupid. You have all these people. It's like, oh, they're fighting. Classic wrestling where there's a match going on and people run through and they're fighting. And then somehow two of the biggest fuckers decide, let's climb up this truck and continue to fight.
Oh, no. Not that one. The one in Montreal where they, it was the Cody match that was interfered and broken up. And they're fighting through the crowd.
All they do is fight. Yeah. So they
I thought that was like a great way to kick off that show. And a crowd were like crazy into it. I feel like both probably have a bit of a chip on their shoulder. I feel Drew's in this position quite a lot. It's just unfortunate. He's like the number five guy in this company, right? So he's always kind of the odd one out. But I think this will be good. I think Jacob should probably win this. He should have a big win to try and elevate him. Like, he feels like someone they want to push forward a bit. But it's unsanctioned, so the heel can lose, right? Because babyface wins, and it didn't really happen because it wasn't even sanctioned.
Ah, true. Yeah. Yeah, I probably see Jacob winning too, as much as I think Drew should maybe be back into a bigger picture, but yeah.
We then have Stephanie Vaquer versus Liv Morgan.
Yeah. I feel like having the heel chase after the babyface champion is a little backwards, but I mean, Stephanie was champ before we even got to Liv winning the Rumble. So that's, it's just how the chips lay. But I think hopefully these two can deliver when the bell rings. I'm not the biggest Liv Morgan fan when it comes to her wrestling. I think over the last year, 2 years, she's really become one of a prominent WWE characters, like on screen and especially in her promos and the Dom stuff and everything. But I can't lie and say that her matches do a whole lot for me. So this is a big test, a big singles match at WrestleMania. Stephanie Vaquer getting really popular in the last year in WWE, and this is a big opportunity for her too. So I hope they can pull something out of it. And I hope there's enough makeup in the world to cover that bump on Liv Morgan's head by the time the bell rings or her entrance, because that was nasty, whatever happened to her head there. Oh my God. Almost as bad as her music video is what.
Oh, that was, I think this is the best built match on the whole card for WrestleMania.
Really? Okay.
I think they've built it up really well. I've liked the physicality between the two, and sometimes a bump like Liv took can enhance it, right? Like, she's going on interviews and stuff with the two black eyes and this conker on her head, and I think it can help it. I could see Liv turning face pretty soon as well. I feel she's like pushing that there already, and you know, that promo in Spanish with Stephanie being like, kind of like, you just walked in and was given this, whereas I crawled up from the streets of Chile and all that. I've liked it, and I think Liv has improved all round. I think she's maybe not the best women's wrestler in ring, but I don't think she's the worst by any means, and I think her wrestling has improved. And hopefully, with the, you know, enough time, knowing this match is happening and being able to get in together and rehearse a bit or whatever, I think it could be a good one. And if they bring the physicality they've bought in all the angles up to this, it could be pretty good. So I'm excited for this one. I see Liv winning this off of Vaquer. And maybe we do a double turn down the line. Who knows? But I would pick Liv for this one.
I feel like it kind of has to be, like, I don't know, eventually we'll get a big Liv babyface turn, but not quite yet. Like, she's popular, but it's because she was doing all the mean, bitchy stuff over the last year and stuff, right? Like,
I will say, debuting that music video on Raw was baffling to me, because you did such this hot angle earlier in the show where Liv, just her, like, her eyes bulging, she looked insane as she's trying to beat the shit out of Stephanie. And then it's such a comedy heel, it's Tyler Breeze, right? Then later in the show, debuting this music video, like, I felt it should have at least been the other way around. So the final image you see is that crazed Liv Morgan being dragged off rather than her shitty music video.
Yeah, I'm not trying to knock her, but like, what, why was that? What is that? Why
timing?
Is she trying to do music? Like, I didn't understand what it was, but I was like, okay, cool. She's doing a music video. It was shot cool. It edited cool. I just thought the actual song was really bad.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like, I'm not going to shit on someone's art, but like, what was that? Why did we get that as a wrestling fan? Maybe wait till after Mania to do that. Are they going to air it at WrestleMania?
Like a celebration video, you know, I became champion and I've made a music video, but like, it kind of diminished the feud for me, and it didn't really fit the character, I didn't think.
She a 10 on mute, as they say. You say Liv winning?
Liv winning, yeah.
Let's go Vaquer. First WrestleMania, win it.
We have AJ Lee taking on Becky Lynch.
Yeah, a rematch from the Royal Rumble. I think we saw...
Chamber,
right, yeah. I think we saw that all the way there. Like, hey, are they going to stretch this all the way out to WrestleMania? Was pretty let down with the Elimination Chamber match, to be honest. I know AJ's got the ring rust and everything. She had the tag match and then this match with Becky. And I didn't really like either of those two matches. So hopefully there's been a lot of time since that last one that they've been shooting in the gym. And I think maybe they want to right the wrongs of that match. So hopefully we get a banger out of these two. Hopefully. I see Becky winning, I guess, retaining, although she's a heel. I'm not sure.
It's yeah. How long have we got AJ staying on for after this? AJ's won every match so far. So
she should lose.
But I mean, believe what you will in that promo when she's like, there's so many other people I want to face. Not that it has to be for the title, but I wonder how much AJ we're getting after this. And if you're balancing, you know, heel babyface wins across the show, I think this should be probably a Becky win. Again, I'd imagine they're rehearsing the shit out of this one. AJ shown improvement, like in the Bayley match and stuff like that. But obviously she's from a different era and she hasn't wrestled for 10 years. So there's a certain level it's going to get to.
She hasn't wrestled in 10 years. Better book her on WrestleMania. Meanwhile, what's Io's match this weekend?
Well, there's still an empty slot for night two. So I could see it going there, but
yeah. I hope they can deliver, but I was pretty let down with the last time. So I kind of dragged Becky down for me. I thought, like, I think she could have been, imagine it was Io Becky at a WrestleMania. Like, that'd be crazy. But anyways,
we have the four-way women's tag match, the Irresistible Forces defending against Bayley and Lyra Valkyria, Charlotte and Alexa, and the Bellas.
Sorry, just looking at night one, like, Seth and Gunther, you guys got to fucking pull it together. I would probably pass on going to night one, looking at this card. Pay $300 to sit in the gods to watch iShow Speed and the Bella Twins. Get the fuck out of here. No way. I don't care about this. Bayley and Lyra gonna win this thing. No. The Bella Twins, if maybe Asuka and Io take their slot, but then they're kind of beefing now. I don't know who wins this, but I'm gonna go with the Bellas because I love them so much.
I could see maybe Bayley and Lyra just because I don't think they've held these titles yet. And
they're friends.
The whole story as well with Lyra trying to get Bayley on WrestleMania because she was screwed out of her Mania match last year, being attacked by Becky. So maybe it's like, let's win this for Bayley. I could see that. Or I could just see Nia and Lash retaining coming out of this.
Mm, true. I kind of hope it's Lyra and Bayley, actually, now that you said that.
We then, as you mentioned, Seth versus Gunther for reasons. Yeah,
if these guys, look, the storyline is bad, but it's two of the best in-ring people. And hopefully we get a WrestleMania classic out of this. They better save night one because going through this night one, it sounds a little rough, actually. I think I would pass on night one if I was in Vegas. But this is the match that there's interest of, like, whoa. If you don't go to night one, that means you don't get to see this one. And I feel like this is the one that could be the, I don't want to say sleeper hit, because I mean, look, these are two certified hoopers, but like, I hope that they can come out of it. I don't want this, you know, I actually haven't really liked Gunther's last few matches. They haven't hit like the way he used to, if that makes sense. I didn't necessarily love the AJ one, and I didn't love the Cena one. And I feel like he hasn't been hitting the strides. This last year was just a weird one for Gunther, really, with the Goldberg and Pat and all that stuff. But I am really looking forward to this match, and I hope we are talking about how awesome it is coming out of it. So Seth Rollins, you got a lot to prove coming off this injury. I hope he can still go since coming off of it. But honestly, out of night one, this is the match I would say I have the most interest for. And I think Gunther wins.
I think they'll give it time as well. And Gunther should absolutely win this. He should continue just his dominance. He should like if Roman's winning, that should be the big feud you build to. Maybe if you're not doing Gunther and Brock at SummerSlam, either way coming out of this, Gunther's going to have a big match down the line, whether it's a Roman or a Brock Lesnar or both this year. So I think he's the one that needs to win this. There's also, again, the favor being involved, which I imagine is a match against Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And they kind of storyline tried to like shoehorn it in this week with Seth basically going, hey, Gunther, what's the storyline? And Gunther being like, well, everyone thinks you're the best wrestler and I don't like that because I'm the best wrestler. Cool. Okay. All right.
We should have done that from the start.
You know, like obviously this has been like a bad hand dealt, right? Like we had it's clearly going to be Rollins and Bron Breakker, and then they were holding off. Is that going to happen or not? Bron is apparently ready, but it was a bit too late in the day, and they thought Rey Mysterio was going to be off injured, where that seemed to be Gunther's program. So they pulled that match, put these together. Now everyone's healthy, it seems. But I'm not mad about this one. It was one when I literally was in an airport and put on my phone and saw the match graphic and was like, oh, where did that come from? But I ain't mad. Like it should be the shining star of night one.
What do the kids say when you see a lit match graphic get put up? Yeah, but what's the story though? What's the story? Where's the promo video to explain this story? Why do they want to fight each other? Oh, they just want to fight because they're wrestlers? Oh,
this does feel like the most AEW match, right? Like just a match graphic and three matches the week before Dynasty and suddenly you have a 12 match card. It feels a bit like that with this one.
Yeah, I hope they can pull it out. I've kind of given up on Seth, especially in the last year with the ups and downs and stuff. But I hope this is the match we're talking about. But I don't know. I don't have high hopes still. I feel like a nice 3.5 star classic is coming our way between these two.
We then, beginning off night two, we're getting Brock Lesnar versus Oba Femi.
Maybe the best built match organically. Like two fucking hosses, two big dudes want to fight. We obviously know Brock Lesnar, no matter how you feel about which way or whatever, it's happening. It's probably one of his last matches, maybe ever. And it's going up against the new big man in the WWE. And obviously we do up next. We cover NXT every week. And for the last 2 years, we've been following this guy and his improvements and his rise. And as soon as he gets put on the main roster, he gets over. And I thought that this week with Paul Heyman saying like, hey, we haven't seen someone get this popular and this big this quickly since Brock Lesnar. So I thought I liked that to the story. I think this is one of the better built matches for this show. And I mean, it'll go no longer than what, 10 minutes. And it's going to be just the guardrail spots, some big suplexes. Like
I don't know if it's even going 10.
Yeah. Like it's going to do the classic, you know, the sprint where it's just two monsters, King Kong versus Godzilla essentially here. So I'm looking forward to this one. I know I've been sick of Brock, but I think this is the best use of him. And especially for Oba Femi, this is such a big opportunity and big spot for him, but he has gotten popular. Like he is one of the more popular guys. I wouldn't be surprised if they do the Brock Lesnar and hotshot him to a world title.
I can't think of anyone getting this hot that quickly.
That quickly. Like the look of him, like, look at this fucking guy. He's a fucking like chiseled out of stone.
His promo was great as well.
His promo, he sounded good. What was he saying? Like I wrote down, he was yelling out, I'm the one. I am the one. I'm the one. He's like Neo essentially here. I do think he's like, they're going to push him to the moon. By SummerSlam, he could be champion or anything, but just the walk.
They should. They shouldn't hold off too long on this. I don't want to see this. I want the Brock Lesnar built, like Brock Lesnar push. No fucking around with the IC title or the US title or anything like that. Give him one of the world titles by the end of the year, by SummerSlam even.
Yeah, book it. Oba wins, I think. It'd be funny if he lost because it's WWE. They could.
My worry is that Oba's had the better of him every single week. If they are holding Brock off for like a Gunther retirement match or whatever, do they want him to lose before that? I think it would be a big mistake to have Oba lose though. Like my head's saying Oba. Well, both are saying Oba, but I don't trust WWE. So I could see Brock winning. I think, like obviously lawsuits and all that, there's a stink around Brock Lesnar for a lot of people. But
stink being the right word, I guess.
As long as you're using in this run him against fresh people, him against an Oba Femi, him against a Bron Breakker, a Gunther, I'm okay with it. I just don't want to see, I don't want to see him in Roman. I don't want to see him in Punk. There's like all those matches I do not want to see. But as long as you're doing fresh stuff like this, I'm kind of okay with it.
I think Oba should win. It's definitely a shock win like this could definitely put him into that like upper echelon main roster, like champion by SummerSlam, probably, hopefully, if it goes all right. But hopefully this is a fun match too. These two monsters fighting. And then Brock can go away for a while before he goes and retires in Minnesota, right?
Yeah. Probably. We then have, poor JD McDonough's not on this match graphic, but.
I'm surprised. His head is so big.
Oh, no, he's there. Your big head's covering him. It's JD McDonough, Dragon Lee, Penta, Javon Evans, Rey Mysterio, Rusev in a ladder match for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, you know what? This looks really fun. This should be crazy. You have Javon Evans, the young, up-and-coming, like, high-flying, bouncy, whatever you call it. He's great to watch. Then you're putting him in the mix with Dragon Lee, Penta, Rey Mysterio. Like, that's crazy. And then JD, who's, you know, he's pretty fun, too, and Rusev. I think this will be an awesome ladder match for the Intercontinental title. I think Javon should maybe win it. I think that would be maybe the right call, especially being so young and everything. But remember when Rusev was doing all these interviews the last few months? Like, I'm coming back to WWE for very important reasons. I'm coming over to take over. And I feel like he hasn't been used too properly. But I was genuinely shocked to see that he was added to the WrestleMania card. I think they were like, fine, just you're on the card.
Look, we need someone to catch all these guys.
Yeah, right? We need one big guy. So, yeah, the base god Rusev in this. Maybe he'll come out on a tank.
Yeah.
Again, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. I'd go for either Penta or Javon to win this thing. Like Penta's had a good run so far, but it being a ladder match is normally a way to just get someone else to win it. This should be fun. Not much real story or anything. It's about the spots. It's about the moment, right?
We're going to get some crazy, like we're going to get the OG cutter off a ladder or something, you know, Penta Destroyers or whatever off the ladders. A Rey Mysterio Penta moment again for sure. And it'll be fun.
Sami Zayn versus Trick Williams.
I feel bad for Carmelo, why he's not added to this story or WrestleMania, considering his run with the US title. But Trick Willie sliding into the main roster like a perfect fit, like a glove, really. Like Trick Williams, another one that as soon as he got to the main roster, it's like, I don't like his wrestling doesn't need to speak for him. It's his mouth that does all the talking and really has worked. Like, I feel like this guy's caught a whole lot of fire since coming to WWE. And I really love it. I love how he's just become one of the best talkers in wrestling. And I think this match could be really fun. Unfortunately for our Canadian comrade, I do see Trick Williams beating him for the US title. Whether it's Lil Yachty or Offset or whatever rappers show up, I do see Sammy taking the L here. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've sort of had the double turn already at this point. I could see it being solidified here.
Yeah.
But if you are solidifying that, wouldn't that mean Sammy wins? Or do you do Trick wins and Sammy shows respect and then kicks him in the dick or something like that?
Sure.
So
remember when you thought Sami Zayn was going to win the Rumble and go on to remember that? There's always next year. There's next year in Saudi. That's when they're going to, the story will finish. I'm kind of more happy for Trick in this position. Like, I do think he's really coming to his own since joining SmackDown. So I hope he wins.
And then the last match to talk about is...
Oh, no, I think... what else was there?
Dominic Mysterio versus... Oh, okay. I've got this one up next.
Okay, yeah. Well, Dirty Dom taking on the Demon in a singles match at WrestleMania. The Judgment Day implodes. But the Demon returns. I thought the Demon was put to rest.
Yeah, I like in interviews, Finn's like, just when I do the Demon, it takes a lot out of me. He's kind of trying to make it sound a little less like mystic and everything. But he's like, oh, I just don't do it all the time because it takes a lot of energy for me to be the Demon.
I think ever since we saw the Demon hump the ground, the Demon was dead on arrival. Unfortunately, those demons have been exorcised since we saw him hump the ground, and I don't think there was any coming back from that. This should be fun, though. I hope we get some good stuff between the two. I mean, the story with Judgment Day has been going on for like 2 years or whatever, so makes sense we get this match. But yeah, sure. I guess Finn goes over. I don't know. Sure.
Yeah, I think Finn should win this one. Dom can take a loss for sure, and you've got to, if he's the demon, you've got to try and protect that somewhat, I guess.
Remember, okay, so Finn Balor's got a match against Dom, and he decides, you know what, I need to be the demon to beat Rey Mysterio's kid. But when he had world title matches and matches against what, Brock Lesnar or whatever, he decided, nah, I'll just be myself.
Yeah. His demon juice wasn't ready or whatever. Right. I don't know.
He lost his mojo, but he got it back for this year's WrestleMania.
And then finally, we have Jade Cargill versus Rhea Ripley for the Women's Championship.
This match is an arm wrestling match. What's the stipulation here? Who's got the bigger muscles? The muscle mommies fighting? This is some sicko and weirdos out there. This is the match for that. This is the one, the two big muscle mommies fighting in one match. I don't think I've been liking the story too much. I'm not a big fan of Jade. I think she looks the part. I think she looks like a WWE superstar, like this gladiator. But unfortunately, nothing in WWE has clicked for me. The promos, the matches, I don't care. Rhea Ripley, I feel like this is a bit of a waste for her, considering how big of a star she really is. Maybe they were hoping this can help transfer some of that to Jade. I don't know what this match is going to look like when the bell rings, but maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised. But I see Rhea winning this one. Rhea really needs a WrestleMania win.
Yeah, I think I can see Rhea winning this one. You can eventually set up for the EO Rhea match for that title. I don't know. I hope Jade finally like proves us wrong a little bit, but I don't see it happening. And I can't see this being a particularly good match.
No, I don't know how we got here, but I can't see this necessarily doing a whole lot, but maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised. I'm not sure, but yeah. I see Rhea winning though. You the same?
Yes. Yeah. Rhea.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the card. What match would you say you're most excited for?
I guess Gunther and Seth out of like the pure like wrestling aspect. I guess Oba and Brock just because they're two monsters. I guess Punk and Roman. But honestly, I'm not very excited going through this card. It doesn't sound like a whole lot that I'm like, oh, my God, I wish I was going to this show, but I'm looking forward to Jelly Roll interfering in the night one main event. That's what I'm looking forward to. What about you? What matches?
Yeah, I'd say those three: Punk Roman, Oba Brock, and Seth Gunther. I'd throw Liv and Stephanie in there as well. Do you see anything being added from SmackDown? We've got 7 matches for night one, 6 for night two. Do we add EO versus Asuka for night two?
I hope so. I really do, especially after the last few weeks with Asuka being a bit of a dickhead and everything. So I do hope that's added. And I feel like those are two characters that WrestleMania match, that sounds great on paper. I would add that match. I don't like, it feels weird to have EO not on WrestleMania considering the last 2 years, she's one of the bigger stars and carried last year's WrestleMania. I mean, that match, people still talk about the triple threat. So I would add that match. I'm not sure. Again, we're recording this a day before SmackDown. I don't know if it is live tomorrow in Vegas, right? I think. I forget.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I do think they're going to add that, but I don't know.
One last thing. The Andre the Giant Battle Royal that's happening on Friday SmackDown. Who do you see for this?
Beats? You tell me. I don't know. Everyone's in it. Kit Wilson. Kit Wilson, his toxic masculinity, is going to win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Is that right?
Who else? I'm going to go Royce Keyes.
Oh, yeah, true. Right. Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with him for that match. Yep.
All right. shall we? We got a bit of time left. Shall we talk anything else WWE you want to talk about before we move on?
Absolutely not. Not feeling this Mania season.
Oh, I couldn't tell.
But if anyone out there is going to WrestleMania weekend, I'm sure there's some people who might be attending some of the other shows going on. And there's a few different matches this weekend that I know I'll be checking out, including like of the like 100 different shows. Like this looks like the most insane amount ever going on. Like every independent is there. Feels like there's all these crossover shows and companies doing stuff. So again, even if you're going to Vegas and not going to two nights of WrestleMania, there's plenty of stuff to do. Like all these different shows, GCW, Joey Janela's Spring Break, obviously always one of the fun WrestleMania weekend shows. And they have the Sandman versus the Invisible Man, which this is Sandman's technically his last match against himself, I guess.
Yes.
But this should be stupid and ridiculous, and it'll be funny. And Sandman will, what, Kane the Invisible Man? I'm wondering how this works out. But then I watched the thing where he got beat up by the Invisible Man, and I thought, cinema.
It's been a pretty fun build. I don't know if I'll be watching anything. I might watch clips of stuff. I'm not as into all the bumper stuff Mania weekend unless I'm going. I don't particularly enjoy watching indie wrestling on TV, but I'll probably check out bits of the Sandman match and the Joey Janela Brody Jr. match.
That's definitely one that people have. Like Joey versus Brody's kid, who's like 15. We've seen -1 on AEW and stuff before, but here, I guess in Vegas, you're allowed to actually wrestle at the age of 15 because obviously certain states
don't. I think he's 14, isn't he? Like, I think 14? He's even younger. Yeah.
Wow. I love some of the clips I've been seeing promoting this match. Like, I do in today's age, like social media and everything, like these independents and wrestlers, you can learn a lot from just like a Zack Ryder during his indie run of like using your socials and stuff to help promote. Obviously, like a GCW and Joey, they got like, you know, stuff made and everything. I saw a video of Sandman dancing to Nelly Furtado or something. I was like, this is great. This is awesome. And that's what a lot of these indie feds should do. Those are two matches from that show that sound ridiculous. So you'll get your full Spring Break feel from those two alone. The Mark Hitchcock Memorial Show as well taking place. It looks great. I think that's tonight actually happening.
Right.
And I know you're looking forward to this one. Heath and Rhino, which, let me remind you, is a nostalgia act now.
Yes.
We are old. Versus an even older nostalgia act of the Headbangers. Now, they did that on SmackDown, like, what, like 10 years ago or something?
Yeah.
Something like that. So that's just funny in how we got this match in 2026. So that's hilarious. But the match from that show, Masato Tanaka versus Mark Davis.
Ooh,
which I would definitely be checking that one out. These two are going to kill each other. Davis is just, I'm so happy for this guy. He was in a tag team, riddled with injuries. Fletcher goes on to have this incredible career. And then this guy comes back and he's been killing it. So I really hope this match slaps. Bandido versus Galeno Del Mal, another luchador who I think these two will go out there and kill it, but he's like a younger luchador, which I'm hoping looks good. And then they removed Leon Slater versus Ricochet, right?
Yes.
So instead we're getting The Demand versus Oku, Speedball, and Kevin Knight in a trios match. And yeah, that one will probably steal that show, considering I'm imagining Ricochet might have a little chip on his shoulder from losing that match with Slater. So instead, they're going to go out there and go out and kill it. So I've been loving Oku on the indies. I know he's gotten tons of attention in the last like 2 years. But every time I've either seen him at an indie show, an indie super show, or watched online or whatever, like he is awesome to watch. So looking forward to the Mark Hitchcock show is always a WrestleMania staple, weekend staple as well. So.
And then, it's just a shame of all the TNA like interference
sucks.
And the matches that can't happen. It's a load of bullshit. And
like
TNA quite rightly getting quite a lot of abuse thrown their way.
It's just stupid. Like, why even agree to it in the first place if that's how you feel? Like, if there's got to be reasons why they're pulling these wrestlers. But that only helps TNA. Oh, yeah. Someone watches this show and sees this guy that they're maybe, okay, maybe you're familiar with Slater because he's been on some NXT and TV and whatever, but you watch that and you go, oh shit, maybe I should watch him on TNA. Instead, now I don't watch that at all, and this doesn't make me want to watch TNA. It's done the complete opposite. AEW announced yesterday that Forbidden Door is taking place in, is it San Jose or somewhere in California? And it's the same night as a TNA pay-per-view. Some people are maybe assuming that they're butthurt about that, but I don't think so.
That would have been booked. I mean, I think SmackDown was in that venue last week. So you can't announce a wrestling show that WWE's running until they've ran it. So this has probably been booked for a while.
Yeah. The TNA stuff is so silly. Like, I don't know. How are they still the cockroach of wrestling? Like, every year they go, okay, we give us one more chance, and then we do. And then it's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
That stupid owl. And that stupid bootleg hat that guy wears. You can't even get your own logo on a hat. You have to go get the custom-made hat. Like Rob
Lowe wearing an NFL hat. Which they sell now, don't they? Yeah.
They sell now? Oh, yeah. I'm sure three people bought it. Fucking hilarious. That company. TNA. Gonna TNA. Did you see MJF going off? Because it was supposed to be Nick Nemeth versus MJF, right?
Yep.
At some show, and that was pulled too. It's just like, man, you guys don't know what the fuck you're doing. Well, TNA, I'm sure they don't have a lot of wrestlers on their WrestleMania weekend. But one other show that definitely has my interest is MLP. Got to shout out the Canadian company that's been kicking some ass, and they got a MLP Multiverse of Madness show. And not only do we have Paul Walter Hauser on Jimmy Kimmel last night promoting this show against QT Marshall in like a Sin City street fight. So, yeah, I was watching Kimmel and he's like, hey, what's this Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling? I'm like, that's crazy that MLP show, WrestleMania weekend indie show, is getting Kimmel love. So that's cool. But on that show also, Oku, Rich Swann, and Sydney Akeem versus The Demand. And that that sounds like it could be really good. And then also added, I'm not sure who Kieran Gray is, an indie wrestler, but he's taking on Stephen Borden.
Ah.
Let that sink in for a second. Sting's kid is wrestling WrestleMania weekend.
Nice.
Definitely some interest in seeing how he does.
He was the Wolfpack.
Wolfpack Sting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's joined the world of wrestling. I know they're going to add some more matches and stuff to that show. But yeah, tons of other stuff happening this weekend in the world of WrestleMania weekend. So it looks like there's shows like every second, possibly, like House of Glory, Game Changer. I'm seeing midget wrestling, if I'm allowed to use that word. It's the name of the company, so I'm just reading what it's called, but like there's so many things happening. So shout out WrestleMania weekend. And hey, if you're listening and you are going to any of these shows, DMs are always open or whatever, let us know feedback or, you know, thoughts on stuff or what we should watch to cherry pick and whatnot, because again, there's a whole lot going on. Oh, and the one thing I think if I were to be there is the death match, like June Kasai is going to be there doing some stuff, so I would totally be checking that out. But yeah, happy WrestleMania weekend.
Enjoy. Absolutely. Yeah. And no, post wrestling will definitely have you covered with everything that's going on. We'll try and catch some bits and bobs to talk about next week. Did you catch Dynamite last night?
Yeah, I did. I did. I'm still on BC time. I don't know what time you'd be on because you're all over the place.
I have no idea what time I'm on.
I was awake real late last night. So I was like, all right, I didn't catch Dynamite. So I said, I went to Korean barbecue instead at 8 o'clock. That was pretty good. And then I watched Dynamite and hey, it was a lot of fun. Still riding the high of Dynasty weekend. But what did you think of the big match in Seattle?
I loved the whole show. I love like a self-contained like one night story from Max arriving and being informed of the match, because they set it up quite nicely at the presser. Tony Khan was like, we were meant to have him on, but he left right away. So they even kind of covered themselves on the presser why he doesn't know this match is happening. But I think, you know, as the show went on and even leading up to the show, I could feel that a change was coming. I think announcing the match so quickly at the presser and then realizing you're like right by Seattle And then Darby's promo at the beginning where he's just in tears because he probably knows he does know he's winning that mm-hmm. night. So, and then obviously Sting showing up backstage. You're like, okay, Darby's going to win this thing. But yeah, I thought it was great. I loved the whole show, the whole angle. And yeah, good for Darby.
Absolutely. Like how crazy is it? We've seen the story arc of Darby Allin, and he's become such a great like AEW homegrown star, right? Like he's definitely been a character in AEW that like people are always fantasy booking and dream matches and what's he going to do in this match and crazy stuff. We were definitely riding high off his match with Andrade from the pay-per-view on Sunday. But I love the promo from Darby, especially when he's holding back tears or letting them flow, and said that today he was going around putting up posters himself yeah. for the show and says that he wants to take this title. But yeah, I and then the match, like obviously Sting giving him the like, hey, you got this. That's when I definitely knew. It's like, come on, Sting wouldn't just put the face paint back on. I'm pretty sure Sting said, I'm not doing face paint anymore. And then tonight he's like,
ah. I thought he said for conventions.
Right.
That's
right.
Like signings and stuff. I think.
Right.
I think in AEW, he'll still have the makeup.
Yeah. So I thought that was great. And then, yeah. Also, I think some people pointed out online that MJF, when the match started, was wearing his loser baby blue Ric Flair gear, which is funny because he's facing Sting's kid here, Darby. So I thought it was great because like the headlock takeover, it's been used over the few years, and finally it's Darby kicking him in the balls and beating him, kind of like how Brody beat him a few like months ago, right?
Yeah,
that storyline. But this one was for the title, so really cool to see Darby get it. I felt like the crowd for Dynamite was really quiet. And then when he won, like everyone in that building, I mean, there's only a few thousand people, but still like by the end, everyone got up and was hooting and hollering. So really cool to see that. I would imagine it's a rematch at Double or Nothing.
Yeah. Isn't there talks of, MJF going off to make a film though?
What's he filming now?
I'm not sure. I did see that possibly he's away filming. And Ciampa called his shot as well. So Ciampa seems more of a TV match.
Yeah.
Defense, maybe definitely. First defense on TV for Darby. So he just doesn't lose it right away.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've seen a few reports that he's expected to make a movie, but whether how long that's away for, you know, Double or Nothing's a month away, he could still be back for that.
I would imagine that's the main event. Like if they have MJF like rematch it, a proper match, even maybe add a stipulation, whatever, and do that in New York. And I don't know if Darby holds this till All In, because I don't know what the big main event match would be. But again, I'm very happy that he won this.
I think we're getting Ospreay versus MJF at All In. And I think we're getting Ospreay versus Kenny in the final of the Owen.
Ooh. That
backstage thing they did, because they did the Owen was Double or Nothing last year, but obviously All In was earlier. So I don't know when they're planning on doing the Owen this time, because they do have obviously a big venue for Double or Nothing, but they haven't announced a tournament at all. So I imagine it's pushed back. But yeah, that backstage segment that we saw, I really liked with Penny like selling their losses.
Oh man, I love this so much. I mean, I think that's what, you know, Kenny is one of my favorites, but his promos are always like when he's trying to go too hard, it doesn't necessarily connect with me as much. Mm. But when he's this,
yeah,
when he's like so real, I loved this so much. It almost brought a tear to my eye. This was Michael Jordan and LeBron sitting in a locker room after both losing their own games. And here they are talking to each other. And yeah, wow, this is like a great set. I rewatched this. I love this so much. Ospreay being like, hey man, I watched you. I was there at Wrestle Kingdom when 2017, you lost to Okada and then you doubted yourself, but then eventually you climbed back and you beat him for the IWGP title. You did it. You bounced back. And Kenny's rebuttal is, Will, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
People don't forget. I love this. And then Ospreay saying, you're my hero. And then Kenny being like, I'm your hero, huh? And then contemplating life. Does this lead to a one-on-one match between them at All In at a pay-per-view before then? I'm not sure, but I absolutely love this. This was awesome. Will and Kenny are two of the best, and they don't need to be doing outlandish promos and stuff. I just need to see more of this. Really, really like this. Great. And it has me questioning, where are we going to go in the next few months? And will these two, it's basically telling you, hey, there's two fan favorites and they're both doubting themselves. And that's some great story. This builds character development. You know, there's a reason why we love Spider-Man, Peter Parker being broke and depressed all the time. Cause eventually when he gets there, it makes it so much more better and special. So yeah, I really like this segment. Not sure where we go for All In, but one of these guys is in the main event, I would assume. I would assume Will. It's Wembley. Come on. It's gotta be him. What else happened? Oh, why was Will wrestling, though? Why was he wrestling? He got murdered on Sunday. And then he's like, yeah, I'm going to fight Hechicero tonight. I thought that was maybe a little backwards, but still a fun match.
Oh,
a
cool match.
Yeah, like really, like, okay, yeah, you reminded me of it. Yeah, well, people do want
to
watch
it. No, it was a good guy to face as well, because it was obviously all the submission based moves that Will's trying to get out of with his bad neck. I thought it was a strong dynamite.
Desmond and Ciampa, that was pretty fun too. Seeing our boy Wes, seeing him get some TV time. But yeah, kind of weird Ciampa calling his shot. Like, dude, you've been here for like a month. Why do you get a world title shot?
Yeah,
like get your TNT title back first before you start going after the big dogs, I guess. But I do like Ciampa, don't get me wrong. FTR doing a 10-second pose. Thought that was really good, getting the heel heat on that. I don't know where we're going with them. They must be beefing with the Bucks again or something. Like all-in triple threat is happening no matter what. But
yeah. I just don't know. Maybe the Edge and Christian stuff is continuing for the next one. And then they can win it. Like it's the fact that they're still doing the pose and that kind of thing. Maybe I wouldn't go to a Bucks match right away. FTR versus Bucks again. Or but who else is there right now?
I know the Collision match this week is Bucks versus the Rascals. Maybe we get that. I'm not sure.
He said Tony Khan bring in someone from like New Japan or CMLL or whatever. Like I obviously expect Forbidden Door, but whether we get anything like that beforehand. I don't know.
I can't even tell you who the tag champs in New Japan are. So probably like, I don't know. I really, what else do we have? Willow versus the big gladiator lady. Camille,
she's back. Yeah.
That was fine. I'm not the biggest Camille fan, but she looks like a giant wrestler. So, and I guess she's on TV or whatever with that show. So that's cool. But yeah. And then Jericho. Still wondering what's been going on with this. Is he going to turn? What's he going to do? And then Ricochet's like, hey, I won't attack you. And then he attacks him. So maybe we get a rematch of this.
I think so. Yeah, I feel like whether it's on TV or at the next event, I feel we're getting another one of this. Yeah.
I love Jericho always. Like, he's definitely, he always must look or listen to what people have to say about his matches. Because over the years, he's always like, some people, like in this promo, most people are saying this is one of my best matches in years because it's literally what every website podcaster has been saying of like, yo, Jericho looked really good.
And he's checking Twitter. He's talking to Dave, like all of that. Yeah.
If Dave tells him the match was good, then Jericho's going to come out and be like, whoa, I'm pretty good again, essentially. But I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued into this. They got me hooked a little bit with Jericho, which is, I guess, a positive considering how much we hated him last year.
Yeah, so
that's a plus.
We'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll see. So then Darby winning. So it's a big. I feel like that's crazy. A WrestleMania weekend. So AEW's like, fuck it, new champion on Dynamite.
I think it's a good move. Like I think it's important to do big things on TV at times, like shocking things, because it makes you want to watch every week. And I think this is the time to do it because you still have quite a lot of time before All In, where you're peaking your story. So I think it made a whole lot of sense and created a good moment.
Absolutely. Shout out Darby. That's great. I do imagine that we get the rematch, and there's still a lot of time from now until All In, and I'm sure we'll start seeing the pieces of that go. But we were thinking of going to Double or Nothing. Just we spent a lot of money, and I know you were just on a big vacation. We want to go to New York, but we're like, we might have to skip this one. But I'm sure it'll be another stellar pay-per-view going forward. But there you go. New champ, Darby Allin. Next few weeks of AEW are going to keep cooking. And then this weekend with WrestleMania, the wrestling never stops. Appreciate everyone out there listening to us. We will be doing some sort of WrestleMania review in the next few days. Again, follow the space, Instagram, all that stuff. We'll talk about WrestleMania night one and two and anything else that we watch from this weekend. And Tuesday night, we'll be back with night two of NXT Revenge. I'm sure we'll talk about some fallout from WrestleMania and Raw and stuff like that as well. But appreciate everyone out there listening. Hope you have a good WrestleMania week. Again, follow us, poisonrana.ca, and our patreon.com/poisonrana for all the other shows that we got going on there. The content never stops. But yeah, that is it. That is all. Take care. Goodbye. And be safe.
Ahoy!
Give me the green light.
This episode sponsored by We Feed Raw. Have you ever actually looked at the label on your dog's food? Most dog food labels are a long list of things that don't look like food. Powders, starches, additives used to hold ultra-processed kibble together. At We Feed Raw, the label looks very different. High-quality meat, nutrient-rich organs, complete and balanced nutrition formulated by PhD nutrition experts. No fillers, no artificial preservatives, just real ingredients that support your dog's whole body health. That's why many pet parents see real changes after switching to We Feed Raw's fresh meals. If you want to feed your dog one of the healthiest diets possible, We Feed Raw makes it simple. Right now, new customers can get 40% off their starter box plus free shipping. Visit We Feed Raw at wefeedraw.com to get started today.